Praise the Lord. Message tonight, Samson and the Morning Sun. Let's begin in Judges chapter 15, read 9 to 20. It says, now the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So they answered, we have come up to arrest Samson, to do to him as he has done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this that you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so I have done to them. But they said to him, we have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. Then Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves. So they spoke to him, saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramath-Lehi, meaning jawbone height. Then he became very thirsty. So he cried out to the Lord and said, you have given me this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank. And his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore he called its name En-Hakkareh, meaning caller's spring, the spring of the caller, the spring of the one who called on God, which is in Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. It's quite a story, isn't it? Let's go back to verse 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this that you have done to us? He said to them, as they did to me, so have I done to them. Listen to the words of these men of Judah, these Christian brothers. Judah means praise. These supposed worship warriors said, don't you know that the Philistines rule over us? We'll never get over our problems. Don't give us some false expectation. The best we can hope for as the people of God is to struggle along in life, die, and go to heaven one day. We'll never be free. And any man, any preacher that came along, in this case Samson, they slandered him and tore down his message. But Samson was a word from God, and Samson had a word from God in that time and place. But the word preached did not profit the people because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. Hebrews chapter 3:19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the good news, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. They didn't have a believing spirit. Now the Lord had given the people the land. He said, I'm bringing you out of Egypt. I'm giving you the land to inherit. From the north to the south, to the east to the west, it's my gift to you. Go in and possess the land. Drive out the enemies. I've given you a land flowing with milk and honey. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. But you know the tragic words recorded in the book of Judges, beginning in chapter 1 and 2. Neither did Judah drive out the enemies. Neither did Simeon drive out the inhabitants of the land. But they dwell among each other. Neither did Ephraim drive out the enemies. Neither did Manasseh. Neither did Asher. Neither did Naphtali. And the people settled for a partial victory, a less than full conquest in God. Now Samson, his name means sunny, a little son. His was a miracle birth. The angel came to his parents, Father Manoah and his mother, and said, a child is going to be born to you, and he's going to begin to deliver the people of God from the hand of the enemy. His was a miracle life and a miracle ministry. He was divinely appointed by God to be like the morning sun breaking across the land. A new day in God, a new vision, a new word from God. Can you imagine if the people would have rallied to him? Said, Samson, we're at your side. We're going to fight those Philistines. We believe the word of the Lord. Reminds me of another preacher, the man from Galilee, the man from Nazareth. In Luke chapter 4, 18, came to his hometown, stood up in the synagogue one day and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, news that puts joy fully into every heart. He's called me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Not half heal, not a partial healing. He sent me to heal those who have broken hearts, to proclaim liberty to the captives, not only spring them out of prison, Satan's power and tyranny, but to take the shackles and fetters off their hands and feet. And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, restoration, the people go free. Said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me for that ministry. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. You mean we can be free? You mean we can be healed? You mean we can be delivered? Do you mean we can walk in power and grace of God in the land? And then it started. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And the jealousy started, and the familiarity with him, and the personality pull, and it wasn't too many more minutes until we come to verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the hill. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Wow. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. They stumbled. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about through the villages of Israel in a circuit teaching. The man from Nazareth is still preaching today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He has a word. Samson had a word for his day. Jesus has a word for all days. We need to receive the word of the Lord. Let's go back to Judges chapter 15 and verse 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this that you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." But they said to him, "We have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines." Then Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves." So they spoke to him, saying, "No, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you." And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. This ray of sunshine, this word of the Lord, this man brought who was going to bring sun upon the land and bring blessing upon the land. And they came to him and said, "We want to bind you and take you. Number one tonight, don't leave the rock." Samson lived on the rock. He had made his home in the cleft of the rock, in an inaccessible place. The enemy couldn't touch him. Don't let anyone pull you from the rock. Don't let anyone pull you from the rock, Christ Jesus. And don't let anyone persuade you or pull you from the rock house, the local church. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Then the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. The rain descended, but the man was safe because he was in the rock and he built his house upon the rock. Don't leave the rock. Don't forsake the rock. Psalm 18 and verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Verse 46, "The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted." Psalm 62, 6-7, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Samson, don't leave the rock. They pulled him from the rock. They persuaded him. You know how it is when people begin to toy loosely with the Lord, but how about his house? You know how it goes. When people start missing church, start slacking, at first it's a little, and then it's a lot. And the enemy knows exactly what he's waiting for. Because when people forsake the rock, they're an easy target for the enemy, and he can bring them down. Number one tonight, don't leave the rock. Abide in Jesus Christ, the rock of your salvation, and stay in the rock house, the church of Jesus Christ. Stay with the family of God and with the local church. Number two, watch out for discouragement. Judges 15, 11 to 13, again. Then 3,000 men of Judah, 3,000 men, went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines reign over us? What is this that you have done to us?" He said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." But they said to him, "We have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines." Then Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves." So they spoke to him, saying, "No, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you." And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. 3,000 men. Wow. These were warriors. This was part of the fighting force of Judah. Now, Samson was of the tribe of Dan. Dan and Judah shared a border. He was called of God to deliver the southwestern part of the land of Israel. Much of his exploits and much of his ministry would take place in Judah. But here come 3,000 men of Judah, these warriors. And they said, "Samson, we want to tie you up. We're okay with a truce. You're causing trouble. We want to give you over to the Philistines. They can put you in jail, whatever, and we'll have peace. We'll live out our lives. They'll live out their lives, and we'll coexist." You know, Samson, the young minister, I think to that point he felt things were going okay. You know, there were some victories and things were coming along, but now his eyes were opened. And he saw the reality of what he was dealing with. And he fainted. He collapsed in spirit. He had a temporary ministry collapse and failure. He said, "What's the use? Tie me up. Lead me away." Deuteronomy 1:28. Where can we go up? "Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there." Brethren that discourage our hearts. The brethren can discourage your hearts. Your family can discourage your heart. The voices of people can discourage your heart. The enemy wants to discourage your heart so you don't go up and take the land and live in the victory and live in the fullness of God for your life. You stay in the chains. You stay in the bondage. Remind you of the story of the devil when he went bankrupt. The story goes, the devil went bankrupt. And he had to sell all his tools. He was only allowed to keep one. And the tool he chose was the wedge of discouragement. His most valuable tool. He knows if he can get that wedge of discouragement up against a Christian life, all he has to do is start tapping away. Creates a little breach, and soon he breaks open the life. We must guard against discouragement. Samson faced it. He fell to it that day as 3,000 warriors came up to take him away. Isaiah 42 and verse 4 says of Jesus, this is a prophecy of our Lord and Savior, says he will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, the truths of God, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. The islands of the sea, the coasts of the earth, the nations of the earth will wait for his law. The Bible says he will not fail nor be discouraged. Jesus fought and was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it is to be discouraged. How do you think he felt that day in Nazareth when his kinsfolk and his relatives and the people that were his friends and he grew up with should have been the most loyal. They should have been the first to say, we support you. We love your ministry. We're going to pray for you. We're going to help you. No, they wanted to push him over the brow of the hill. Discouragement. Discouragement. Not only in the ministers of the Lord at times, discouragement in anybody's life when the voices come and the circumstances come and the enemy's there. Pounding away on that wedge. It's subtle. It's slow. But it's purposeful. Don't let anyone discourage you and take you out. Don't let anything or anyone discourage you to the point where you no longer fight the battles of the Lord or do the will of God. They led Samson away. Joshua 15 and 14. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. And so it was when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Jawbone Height. Samson. As they led him out to the Philistines, all of a sudden those Philistines, who were kind of subdued, there was going to be an exchange here, just a simple transaction. All of a sudden, a demonic frenzy took hold of them, a demonic ecstasy. And all of a sudden, they came shouting against Samson. Samson came to his senses. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The ropes on his arms melted and fell to the ground and on his hands. And he looked around, I need a weapon. I need a weapon. And there he saw in the ground the jawbone of a donkey. And he took that jawbone and he slew 1,000 men. As the corpses piled up, he said, I think I'm going to call this place Jawbone Height. And then he started singing. With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps. With the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. Yeah. With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps. The confession of my mouth, the declaration of my lips, the living promises of God. With the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men, and so have you. What a song to sing. Get it in your heart. With the jawbone of a donkey. Lord, I'm going to speak your praises. My mouth is going to be filled with your promises. I'm going to declare the word of the Lord. I'm going to speak the life of God. I'm going to pray fervent and powerful prayers. I'm going to see the enemy broken before me. The jawbone of a donkey. I've slain 1,000 men. Well, the King James Bible is a little more descriptive, but I'll leave that to your perusal. Judges 15 and 18. Then he became very thirsty. So he cried out to the Lord and said, you have given me this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And how shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore, he called its name En Hakkareh, Caller's Spring, which is in Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Number three, final point tonight. When weary, drink from Caller's Spring. When you're weary, drink from Caller's Spring. Samson, the battle was over. I mean, he'd taken out 1,000 men. The Bible says he became very thirsty. He was totally dehydrated. His strength was spent. He had nothing left. He said, Lord, absolutely exhausted. Am I now going to fall in the hand of those Philistines as they turn back on me and take my life? But he said, I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. And for those faithful warriors who will call on the name of the Lord, there is a miracle just out ahead. You have to start calling. You can't stay in your exhaustion. You can't stay in your faint and weariness that's come upon your life, because God's given you a victory in battle. You've won something. You've taken some ground. Now you say, Lord, I need to call on you, because God says there is a miracle for you out ahead. God split open the hollow and living waters began to pour forth. And Samson revived, his spirit revived, he gained strength, and he went on to serve the Lord. And the Bible says he went out of that experience and judged Israel another 20 years. He said, I call that place Caller's Spring. He said, I know one thing, I've learned one thing in my life in ministry, that when I feel exhausted and I feel down, that if I'll begin to call on the name of the Lord, he's going to open up living waters. He's going to split the rock, and I'm going to begin to drink of the living waters of my God, and I'm going to find strength. Sometimes in our life, maybe in your ministry, you feel like you have no ministry left. You're spent. Maybe you're here tonight, and you feel like you can't go on. Circumstances, life, discouragements. You feel like there's nothing left. But the Bible says that those who call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, it's true. When some people say, I'm done, they are done. But when you say, I'm done, you're not done, because you know how to get living water from your God. As you begin to call on him, the miracle comes. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Revive me again, O Lord. Begin to call on the name of the Lord and rise out of your exhaustion and rise out of your tiredness and rise out of your fatigue and say, I'm going to walk on with God, and I'm going to keep the word of the Lord on my life. And I'm going to keep shining like the morning sun and bring blessing and life to the world, to my family and those about me. Hallelujah. Well, that's the message. Samson and the morning sun. Let's have the worship team return. I wish I had more runway right now to land the plane, but I don't. So number one, don't leave the rock. Don't leave the rock. Number two, guard against discouragement. Guard against discouragement. And number three, when you're weary, drink water from the spring of the caller, from Caller's Spring. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's rally to the cause of the Lord. Let's build the walls that are broken down with Nehemiah. Let's raise up the gates that are burned with fire with Nehemiah. Let's believe for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I'm giving you the land of Canaan. I'm giving you a land full of the blessing of the Lord. Let's get some faith mixed in. Maybe things have discouraged. Maybe hardship has come, but the Lord says, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. The Spirit of the Lord is upon our Savior to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set free those that are oppressed, and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and need prayer, for any need, please slip out from where you are. Maybe you're discouraged in your heart. You need some brothers and sisters to come and strengthen you and pray over you. Please slip out where you are. We're here to strengthen our lives before the Lord, to serve Him with all our heart and all our strength, to let Him lead us on, that we can gain victories in life and be used of Him to the fullest extent we can be. And so we thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's begin to surrender to the Lord right now.